the Experience Darden podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to our first episode. So the Experience Darden podcast is our podcast all about the full-time MBA experience here at the University of Virginia, Darden School of Business. Over the coming weeks and months, we'll be sharing conversations with current students, faculty, staff, and alumni in an effort to give you a sense of just what it's like to be a full-time MBA student here at Darden. So if you're interested in our full-time MBA program, you're in the right place. If you're interested in our executive formats, that would be our Executive MBA and Global Executive MBA, highly recommend checking out our Exec MBA podcast. So in this first episode, we'd like to begin with a conversation with my boss, someone who needs no introduction, Donna Clark. Donna is Executive Director of Admissions and Financial Aid, and she and I recently sat down to talk a little bit more about her background, what brought her to Darden, what she enjoys about admissions, and her advice for prospective applicants. If you are applying to Darden, thinking about applying to Darden, or just trying to orient towards our admissions process, highly recommend this episode. Donna, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Brett, and hello, everybody. I'm thrilled to be here.
So it's hard to believe anybody doesn't know you, but for those of our listeners who may be less familiar with you, tell us just a little bit more about your background.
Sure. Well, I'm a proud Jersey girl. And that's where I'm sort of home. That's where home is. Went to undergraduate school at Allegheny College in Pennsylvania and then UNC Chapel Hill for grad school. And from there kind of fell luckily into MBA admissions, was sort of interested in combining interest in business and higher ed. Had worked in undergrad admissions for my alma mater for a year and have been in the industry now for almost 30 years. It's hard to believe it's gone so fast. Happily married, have a 27-year-old son and a 27-year-old stepdaughter, and, you know, thrilled to be back at Darden.
So this is your second time at Darden,
it
right?
It is, yes.
So what brought you back the second time?
Sure. Well, I had a great experience at Darden. I was here from 1990 to 2005, which is 15 years at one institution is a long run, and had a very good experience at Darden previously. Had gone to Tuck for 12 years and then joined a firm that was started by a Darden grad called MBA Mission and worked as an admissions consultant for a short period of time, which was really valuable. But during that time frame, some folks at Darden reached out and said, we have an opening in admissions at Darden, and would you consider coming back? And I think it's one of the, it's just a really great story about serendipity, because my initial reaction is I couldn't possibly come back to Darden right now. I just joined a consulting firm, and that wouldn't be a very professional thing to do. But Darden called a couple of times, and at one point, Ron Wilcox said, our dean really wants to meet with you, but he's on vacation in Maine. And I was on vacation in Maine. And I drove and met Darden's relatively new dean at the time. Scott Beardsley had been here for 3 years. And I've worked for 9 business school deans and was just incredibly impressed with the positive momentum that was going on at Darden. I haven't really seen a dean who has gotten so much done in such a short period of time. I just was really impressed with him, and then came for an interview and was really impressed with the admissions team and the enterprise team. And when I got the offer, you know, Scott Beardsley said, I'm calling because we want you to come back home. And I think that sealed the deal, because it really did feel like, you know, coming back home after having spent 15 years here. So it was just, you know, a really a great story of, you know, if I hadn't been in Maine at the same time the dean was in Maine, then who knows what had happened. It was, and it worked out really well.
So one of the things I know that we've talked about is how your experience as a consultant, an admissions consultant, has shaped your perspective now that you have as a director of admissions. So do you want to talk a little bit more about what sounds like a very formative experience in your career?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think generally in life, the characteristic of having empathy is a really important life and professional, you know, trait to have. And I would say there have been 2 formative experiences for me as an admissions director. And the first was navigating the undergraduate college search process with my son, Josh. I thought, well, this will be a piece of cake. I'm an admissions director, and was unpleasantly surprised by how stressful applying to undergraduate school and the whole financial aid process was, and really illuminating, and it made me even more, I think, sensitive to the applicant experience and what it feels like when you open your computer and maybe, you know, get a rejection letter. And, you know, I got to see some of the best things that undergraduate schools did on college campuses. As an admissions consultant, I would say the same thing. It just helped me. It helped illuminate the blood, sweat, and tears that our applicants put into this process. I had about 20 clients the first year that the first cycle that I did this, and I really felt invested in all of them. But to really, on a week by week check-in basis, see what it's really like if you were taking the GMAT or GRE for the third time, and the time and money and effort that goes, you know, into that, and the level of stress, and things like, you know, it illuminated when people are in their late 20s, you have a finite amount of time off. How do you choose which business schools to visit and which ones not to visit? You know, I think I was already an empathic person, but I feel like it took it up a notch and gave me a lot of insight into the applicant experience that has been helpful being back, you know, in the saddle of being an admissions director again. It was invaluable. I'm really, really glad I did it. And yeah, it was just a great informative experience for me.
So this is sort of related to what you've just shared. What would you say is your philosophy in terms of how you think about admissions and sort of your approach to working with prospective students and applicants?
Sure. Oh, that's a really great question. Well, first of all, I think my philosophy is as strong as the people that I work with. And so I think one of the most important things that I can do as an admissions director is make sure our, you know, team is engaged and has a similar philosophy. I believe a lot in accessibility. I mean, we as a team personify the Darden brand. And I think that as sophomoric as this may sound, there is a lot of power in kindness and accessibility and flexibility and empathy for the applicant experience. I like to think of our admissions process as highly accessible. I work with a lot of people on our team who I really feel like bend over backwards and are very invested in the connections they form with prospective students. I think that, again, having had the experience of going to undergraduate visits with my son and seeing how, you know, maybe a little extra step can go such a long way in personifying a school and experiencing that firsthand and hearing some of the stories that my clients formerly experienced. I think, you know, it's really important to personify a school in a way that's consistent with the brand. And, you know, Darden is so high touch and so focused on the individual and, you know, meaningful connections. So I think those personal touches are really, really important. And just having a high degree of empathy as we all navigate, you know, what's in the best interest of the applicant when we're coming up with new policies. So it's definitely, I think admissions is definitely a relationship building business. And it's, I think, a good fit for my personality because I'm people oriented and I work with a team that's very, you know, I think we really share our love for working with prospective students and current students in common. So it's, yeah, you know, kind of respect for the person's experience when they interact with us as drives a lot about it.
Yeah, that is the nice thing. I do think that there is brand alignment between how you're supported as a student here and ultimately how we try to engage with prospective students, right? Lots of conversations. We do lots of events, webinars, all these many different ways to make sure that people have the information that they need as they think about Darden. We know that there are a ton of schools out there in the world, lots of different places for people to consider, you know, pursuing a business degree. But ultimately, you know, feel that it's very special when someone decides to take some time and fill out an application or just even learn more
right.
about Darden.
Yeah, definitely. And I know you do a lot of you. I hear stories all the time about you, Brett, and, you know, your availability. You've come in to meet with applicants on Saturdays and evenings. And, you know, we really appreciate that. And I think you're right. There is brand alignment in terms of how invested, for example, Darden faculty members are in the learning experience. And so applicants' first interactions with the school is most likely going to be with admissions. And I do feel that it needs to be consistent with the overall brand of the school. And it's actually, I think, really motivating to work for a school, I mean, that is so invested in the educational experience for the applicants. I mean, this has been the case for Darden for a long time. I remember when I was here 15 years ago, that was the case, a real dedication to the quality of teaching. And it's been one of the most, you know, inspiring things to be back at Darden is the amount of time and effort that's been put into making sure that the educational experience is just, you know, top notch. And, you know, it's kind of an honor to represent a school that cares that much about the experience that students are investing in themselves and the money and time that it takes to invest in an MBA.
You know, we're now in 2019. We're approaching round three here.
Right.
We've had EA round one, round two. So how are things going so far this year? How do you, you know, sort of taking stock on the overall cycle? How do you feel about things?
I feel really good. I mean, we have, you know, introduced some innovations this year with, you know, new early action round. And I love that we have that round in September for people who are ready to apply in September. We have one in October, we have one in January, and we have one coming up in April for people who may have decided a little later in the process to apply. The number of students who have deposited at Darden is about triple what it was last year at this time. So I think that may be reflective of the positive momentum that's going on, you know, at the school. I am extremely grateful to Darden for having such a robust scholarship budget that we can work with. It's such a valuable tool. Again, having empathy for students who are giving up careers for 2 years and investing a lot of money into tuition, I think Darden has done a fabulous job of investing in scholarships that can be very effective with attracting top-notch candidates. So, you know, I think we have a great team, very enthusiastic about the admissions team that we work with. And generally, there's just a lot of positive momentum, you know, at the school that's showing in everything from, you know, rankings to a new gift that we got last year from the Batten family so that every Darden student can participate in a Darden Worldwide course at no incremental cost. So I think things are broadly really on a positive upswing at Darden, and it's I find it really fun to be a part of.
So I'm sure we have a few people listening to the podcast who might be thinking about round three. So that deadline, as you noted, is coming up in early April. What would be your advice for someone who's potentially thinking about round three?
Okay. Well, first of all, we wouldn't have a round three if we didn't reserve plenty of spaces for people who are applying in round three. So one of the questions that I got as a consultant a lot, is it even worth applying in round three? And we have intentionally reserved plenty of space for candidates who applied in round three. We had some really strong candidates who applied last year in round three. I'm really proud of this year's application. We were incredibly thoughtful when coming up with the questions. It's really intended to give us a more holistic view of the applicant. I would say have fun with it. A lot of people tell us, I'm sure you've heard this too, Brett, that once you get on the other side and have hit the submit button, that the application process is just a great time to self-reflect on why you want an MBA, why you want Darden, what is it that you're most proud of to convey to us. There are questions that I think are elicited at getting a broader insight into the applicant. So I would try to approach it with having some fun. And most of the applicants don't apply unless they have a lot going for them. engage with us. We're, again, very accessible if you want to come and, you know, visit Darden for a class visit, or have questions. There are a lot of opportunities to engage with us if you do have questions about navigating the application process.
Yeah, there'll be webinars and obviously schedule a conversation too. Right. So lots of different ways to learn. We've got a blog where we've recently featured some of your app tip videos. You want to talk a little bit more about doing those videos, sort of, you know, how you came up with the ideas of what you talked about and sort of why you decided to put them together?
I think it is, I think my personality is a little on the nurturing side, and I think as a long-term admissions director and a former consultant, there are some really common questions that I would get as I interacted with prospective students. So I think it's important for us to be transparent about our admissions process. There's not some secret formula that we're keeping to ourselves. For example, one of the videos is about a resume, and one of the things that was illuminated to me during the time that I was a consultant was how important the resume is in terms of giving a concise overview of one's background. Sometimes people have a lot of leadership experiences, but it's embedded here and there, scattered on the resume, when there's a possibility of congealing them into one section called leadership. Same for global experiences. It's not a requirement of our admissions process, although I think it is great to show cultural sensitivity and global experiences if you've had them. Many people have had a lot of them, and to maybe organize them on your resume in a way that really draws attention to the depth of one's global experience is an example. So I think, you know, being helpful in your success, I mean, that's what is done at Darden. You have people here who are invested in your success as a student and your future success. And I think these tips are available to help you submit the best application that you can. And again, to show, you know, the kind of community we are at Darden.
Yeah, you did three videos with resume tips, leadership experience, global experience, hobbies and interests too, which I found really, really interesting. Because you think of resumes, all business all the
right.
time. But hobbies and interests have a place on a resume too.
Right, and it's actually one of the first things that I look at. If I'm interviewing a candidate and I have their resume, sometimes I look at that first as a way to build a connection with them. And one of the things that I would do oftentimes with clients who are applying to business schools is to try to give that a little bit more life. And to help people be authentic. I know that it sounds a little bit cliche, but I'm a big believer in the importance in life of authenticity. So, for example, I had a client who had a very impressive background, and one of his hobbies was breakfast. And he put it on his resume, and it just made me chuckle. I'm like, so what is it about breakfast? Do you like to cook breakfast? Do you like to go out for breakfast? But he was really into, like, you know, that a lot of meaningful relationships occurred for him on weekends, you know, over breakfast. And it was a conversation starter. So it's kind of random, but that was authentic to him. And it made me chuckle. And it's very common for people to maybe put things like reading, running. I think you can show more personality if you talk about, you know, what is it you read? Do you like World War II novels? Do you like nonfiction, fiction? What, you know, do you run in marathons? Do you, you know, run in a group? I mean, anything you can do to just show your authentic personality gives your resume a little bit more life and maybe a way to make a connection with the person you're interviewing or whomever is reading it.
Yeah, another one of your videos touches on sort of essays, right? And talking a little bit, I mean, we have multiple essays this year, which is a little bit of a change for us.
Right.
We had one essay last year. We now have, gosh, several short answer questions, and they range from, like, where in the world would you want to go with Darden?
Right.
Tell us about a time you had a meaningful impact. And so I'm curious to hear your thoughts. I mean, obviously, I want people to watch the video, too, but I think my impression is that applicants sometimes struggle with writing essays because they think that there's an answer or a particular approach we're looking for. I mean, how would you answer that particular question?
That's a really good question. Darden is a general management program, and there is a lot of emphasis on class participation and a lot of intention with regard to bringing in a class that has various perspectives. a common question I'll get is, what do you look for in an application? And while there are some common themes, there is not a cookie cutter applicant that we're looking for. So when I say common themes, I think we really value strong communication skills and interpersonal skills, team skills. We do want to see that people either have leadership potential or have had exhibited leadership skills and are going to go out into the world and make an impact. So there are some common themes, but people can shine for different reasons. And I think taking some time to think about, I mean, I love the question, you know, that asks to describe a time when you've made a significant impact. To me, that's a thoughtful question. I think that would be a really fun one to reflect upon, you know, different life experiences. And I would choose something that the that you're really genuinely excited to convey. I mean, leadership can be shown in a lot of different capacities. Some people have written really touching essays about maybe somebody who was struggling and the impact that they had on an individual versus a project versus a team. That the answers in that question can stand out for a variety of different ways. And I love the essays where you feel like you really got to know the person, you know, authentically. I think the question about where would you like to go is a great way of fast forwarding. Like, okay, I'm a Darden student and we have this great opportunity. Darden also has received wonderful rankings for global programming. And we have this new scholarship program so that all Darden students can participate in a Darden Worldwide class. So to have the, you know, opportunity to fast forward in time and think about, you know, where you'd like to go, it's kind of a fun activity.
Yeah, and your point about authenticity, I think sometimes we share that and people are like, and what does that mean? But yeah. Your point is well taken, particularly on the essays. I think if you write your essays too focused on what we might want as a committee,
right,
it's hard to really get to know who you are as a person.
Right.
So when you think about authenticity with an application, I mean, if you were an applicant out there, how would you want applicants to process that word?
Well, I would say if you perceive yourself to be creative with your essay. If you have a sense of humor, use a sense of humor in your essays. If there's something that you're just really passionate about, but you think, you know, I'm really passionate about this, but I'm worried about, you know, maybe this isn't a traditional answer, just go with it. I am such a firm believer that different applicants can shine for different reasons. And yes, there are some common themes that we talked about, interpersonal skills and communication skills. We want people who are predisposed to having strong skills. And you as an applicant want to have those types of people in the classroom that you're interacting with for 2 years. But, oh my goodness, people, I've seen some incredible stories of resilience, things that people have overcome on a personal level or have helped other people overcome. I've seen people who have talked about, you know, volunteer activities that they've been involved in. I think it's just listening to, you know, kind of saying to myself, like, if I could convey 5 things to the committee that I think are relevant for them to know, what are they, distilling them down, seeing where they might fit in each essay. But the essays are designed for us to get to know you the applicant, mm-hmm. more, and hopefully that is really helpful to applicants to have a sense of, I liked the Darden admissions process because I felt as though they were really invested in getting to know mm-hmm. me better.
When you were talking about empathy in this process, I think one of the things that we know to be more stressful for applicants is the standardized test,
right?
So we're a school that accepts the GMAT or the GRE, encourage candidates to take the test they feel best aligns with their strengths and plans. But we know that this is stressful. So wonder how you think about standardized test as part of the overall application review.
Well, I have pretty strong feelings about this because I myself have not historically been a strong test taker, yet I did extremely well in undergraduate school and graduate school and tend to perform well. So it is a little personal to me, and I have had a lot of clients who I really, really believed in who struggled with the GMAT or GRE. So there are some people who do really well, and it's great, you know, for those applicants. But I also believe that there are a lot of really talented high performers out there, and their talent does not necessarily manifest in an exceptional GMAT or GRE score. So we do accept either one, or for joint degree programs, the LSAT or MCAT, for example. In this day and age, there are so many alternative ways to also show that you have the academic ability to succeed at Darden. So, you know, there are Coursera classes that people can take, or an applicant might point out undergraduate classes that they did exceptionally, you know, well in. Some people have a CPA, some have a CFA. There is a class that I am very impressed with called HBX Core, which is a class that you can take through Harvard Business School that exposes you to economics, statistics, accounting, and finance. And there is an abridged version of it and a longer version of it. I think that is a great opportunity to get some exposure to the types of subject matters you would get in a first-year curriculum. It can help in the admissions process, but it can help applicants just hit the ground running a little bit more in an MBA program. I've recommended it to many people, and it's become very popular, not because I've recommended it, but just because it's become popular. So for those of you like me who may be average test takers but who perform well academically, I would say, in addition to putting some effort into maybe a GMAT test prep or a GRE test prep, there are also alternative ways you can show evidence that you can handle the coursework at Darden.
So one of the things I think that we all really enjoy about the application process is the interview, right? So, you know, we actually get to sit down with an applicant, spend, you know, 30, 35 minutes with that person hearing their story. No, you've shared some tips about, you know, how to be successful in the interview process, but what do you enjoy about that experience? And, you know, how would you encourage an applicant to perhaps prepare, you know, for the conversation here at Darden that they would have?
Sure. Well, I think doing one's research is really helpful. I think the following advice is probably helpful not just for Darden, but for most business schools. Want to know that an applicant has done their research and that they have well thought out reasons why they're interested in Darden, for example. It's great. I think applicants who are successful in the interview often do a good job of sort of explaining where they're coming from, where they want to go if they know that, and how Darden can be a really good bridge, you know, to getting there. I think the interview is really important. I do believe so much in emotional intelligence, interpersonal skills, communication skills. Those are hard qualities to assess on the basis of a written application alone. So I'm very pleased that Darden historically has invested in interviewing so many people to get a sense of those types of skills that are so important in business. You know, one of the things I enjoy about meeting students one-on-one is like just fast forward when they're current students here. It's bonding. You know, when you form these meaningful relationships with a student, a prospective student, and then they are admitted and they become a Darden student, and then you see them getting involved and they're at graduation, It's meaningful. You know, that was maybe oftentimes the first touch point. I believe that it's really important to put somebody at ease. We're all going to be more ourselves and be more likely to be authentic if somebody puts us at ease. Our interviews tend to be more relaxed and conversational. It doesn't mean that they're not substantive, but I do think that it's really important for the interviewer to be responsible for helping the person be as successful as he or she can in the interview by putting them at ease. So doing some research is important. I also think the same advice that I mentioned earlier, when you're approaching your essays, you can also do in an interview. Like, what are 3 or 4 or 5 life, work, professional experiences that you're really, really proud of that you hope to convey in the interview? And then wait for the proper time for, you know, to get a cue that might fit into the conversation well. So do some preparation just on your own self too, and what you really hope to convey. One of the favorite questions that I ask in an interview is, at the end, is, what didn't I ask you about? Is there anything that I missed that you want to talk about? And it's really fun to see what, you know, some people say, no, you covered everything. And some people, you know, do mention something that we just couldn't cover on the basis of a 40 minute interview. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one-on-one, it's easier to make a meaningful connection. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of us enjoy interviews for that reason.
Yeah, I think of the other part of the application process where we can get some objective appreciation on who a person is the recommendation mm-hmm. process. So acquire two recommendations. You get a lot of questions from applicants about who they should ask.
Right.
And, you know, obviously, you know, general advice is general advice. Everybody's situation is a little bit different.
Right.
But how would you encourage applicants to approach that part of the application?
Well, I think it definitely requires some judgment on the applicant's part in terms of maybe there's five choices and you need to whittle it down to two. We definitely prefer professional recommendations over academic recommendations. They tend to be more insightful and not as redundant as maybe what we could see on a transcript. You know, I think an applicant just has to use his or her best judgment in terms of who really knows what I have to offer business school, who is most invested in my success. This is not a requirement in recommendations, but just like the resume, we talked about bringing the resume to life by being maybe a little more specific about, well, what kind of reading or what kind of athletics do you participate in? I think a recommendation is more effective when they can maybe give some anecdotes or vignettes or stories rather than just saying, I'm a team player. Maybe give a little anecdote about something that the applicant did to demonstrate that he or she is a team player. I would not, some recommenders, this is very common, I hear this a lot, do not want to take the time to write the recommendation for the applicant and ask the applicant to do that. I absolutely advise one not to do that for a variety of reasons, but I do not think that there's anything wrong with sitting down with your recommender, with your resume, and saying, hey, Darden is really well known for the case method, and there's a heavy emphasis on class participation, and, you know, I wanted to remind you of the time when I participated in a client engagement in a way that went above and beyond. So preparing your recommender is a savvy thing to do, but you know, don't let it cross a line into doing their work for them. You know, if you've done a really good job for an organization or a boss, that person, you know, you should expect that person to be willing to write you a compelling recommendation. You know, you earned that as an applicant. So don't take the risk of writing it and having a school find out about that. But, you know, just use your best judgment and who is going to do the best job for you in illuminating your strengths when you're applying.
Yeah, it's probably for those of you who may be a little bit less familiar with our recommendation process, it's worth knowing a little bit more about what your recommenders will be asked to do. So there's a ratings grid where your recommender will be asked to sort of rate you across a few different dimensions.
Right.
Then really three questions. You know, how do you know the applicant? That's pretty easy. How does the applicant compare to his or her peers? And what's a piece of feedback that you've shared with the applicant? If you're hearing those questions in the way that we think you might be, you may think, gosh, it probably needs to be someone who's given me feedback. It's someone who has a sense of sort of objectively how I might fit within the broader organization. So that person tends to look more like a supervisor or someone who's managed you in a work setting. Although, you know, everybody's situation's a little bit different. But I always find those questions to be helpful to applicants as they think about orienting to the recommendation process. So, Donna, you shared a tremendous amount of advice here. Are there any sort of last, maybe I should ask you, anything else that we didn't talk about that you'd like to share?
I would say just regarding Darden, I think we touched on this a little bit. I'm just very excited to be a part of the positive momentum that's going on here. I feel like the place is kind of on fire, and it's really an honor to be a part of a place where there's just so much positive momentum in so many different areas of, you know, 24 new faculty members, you know, a dean who has a non-traditional background who has innovated a lot, you know, there's just a sense of a really positive upward trajectory, and I hope people take the time to come and visit and, you know, get to know us a little bit more. One piece of advice I might give about career goals. One incredibly common question I would get when I was an admissions consultant is, I don't know what I want to do, but I feel like I have to come up with something. I might have a little bit of a non-traditional viewpoint on this, but one of the beauties of business school, and I've seen this now, you know, with having admitted people back in 1990 who are wildly successful, I've seen so many people who come in with an idea, but through the case method or through guest speakers or through the career search, may find a passion that they didn't realize existed. So I can think of a Darden alum who is in the airline industry now, who didn't even think about the airline industry before she came to Darden, but had some cases in the airline industry and they really resonated with her. She did her internship with American Airlines and then went to work for them. And so, you know, we all don't know what we don't know. So if you are one of those applicants who is fretting over what to say, I would say just do the best with what you know now. A good way to help distill career goals is to reach out to our alumni, talk to people who are in different fields you're considering. But it's okay if you don't know exactly what you want to do. I think that's the beauty of the program, is to help you figure that out. I don't know that all admissions directors are going to have that open of an attitude. So this advice is just for Darden, but I would say just do the best you can when articulating your career goals. Like, at this time, here's what I'm considering and why. But I did have a lot of clients who were very stressed out about this element of the admissions process. And I don't think it's realistic to think that a 26-year-old is going to know exactly what he or she wants to do. And it's part of the beauties of life and our professions, is we hopefully evolve. And the Darden program is certainly going to make people stronger and better and exposed to things that they didn't even know existed. But just do the best you can with the information and insight and connections that you have at this time.
Yeah, you're right. Take advantage of being a prospective student, right? Come to events, meet alumni, talk with them, just get curious. You know, buy people cups of coffee and just ask them what they do and why did they do it and, right, you know, what advice they might have.
I think it's also, I mean, one of the benefits of that is it's helpful maybe in terms of distilling career goals and thinking about an MBA, but you might make some new friendships along the way. And I'm always really impressed when applicants do that. It just shows so much initiative that not only did they read our website and they seem to be really knowledgeable about Darden, but they actually reached out and made some connections. I think it shows a lot of initiative.
Well, Donna, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. It was really fun. And we look forward to hopefully seeing you on the road or at Darden. Thanks for listening.
Donna Clark, Executive Director of Admissions and Financial Aid here at the University of Virginia Darden School of Business. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, at Virginia, that's V-I-R-G-I-N-I-A.edu. And until next time, thanks for listening.